Easter 2.0, the sequel, Welcoming the Ember. This is a sermon from April 23rd. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This Sunday is considered Easter 2 in the lectionary, simply meaning the second Sunday of the Easter season or the first Sunday after Easter, but to me it seems more like a sequel. And you know what happens with sequels, the tendency. They usually don't live up to the hoopla of the promos and are distant second to the original. The pressure is on for sure, like a musical artist's sophomore album. The reality is pretty much the same for churches the Sunday after Easter. As I've shared before, the Sundays after Christmas and Easter are usually the lowest attended Sundays of the year, or at least they seem to be. I mean, last week on Easter Sunday, we ran out of seats. This week I've tucked about 30 back in the closet. It's not that I'm complaining. Okay. Maybe a little. But it's not just about complaining. It is a testament of the time that the good news quickly becomes old news, that the memory of the greatest headline loses its pull. Doubt creeps in. We return to the darkness brought on by our cultural narrative, and for some reason, the cinema, the album, the book, the church service deemed number two takes on the sense of being less important. Not quite as zing, bang, pop as the numbered one. Remember what Ricky Bobby said, "If you ain't first, you're last." Looking around, we can take the afterglow of the fire as a symbol of dying and losing spirit, or instead look at it as a possibility of new beginnings. Slow, steady embers can provide long-lasting warmth. The best barbecue is not made with high and scorching flames. The most comfortable hearthside seats are those with a maintained low flame. And so it goes for the embers and warmth and sustainable growth of faith. As it is written in the Epistle of Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if for now or for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Hear that again. "And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Today, this Sunday after Easter, we're going to be dedicating Gabriel Stowe. He is the son of Carrie and Daniel Stowe, grandson of Art and Vicky Stowe. Gabriel is inheriting the faith passed down from generation to generation. Though as a child, his faith cannot stand on its own. A faith must be supported and encouraged by family and faith family. Gabriel is an ember of hope, promise, growth, just as his father and mother before him. But there's something very, very important for each of us to remember. and embers lasting worth and value fade when they do not reside in a community of other embers. Let me explain with a story by Dr. John MacArthur. Many of you have probably heard this, I imagine. It's entitled The Lonely Ember. A member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a big chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself comfortable but said nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplated the play of the flames around the burning logs. After some minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet fascination. As the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you as so much for your visit and especially for the fiery sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday." Now, I share the story with you all as a reminder. When it comes to faith, though it can be sustained for short periods of time alone, it's not intended to be a solitary experience. God is a God of community. The Trinitarian concept outlines that for us. Regardless of your orthodoxy, there are certainly three expressions of our beloved deity: God, God's Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whether they are all one or not, they are a connected system which embodies and values community and calls us into and teaches us to value other. The family, the faith family, the neighbor, and another family of faith are called. The requirements of this community are to care for and embrace and celebrate other, to share life and love together, providing a hearth for embers to glow. Now let's be honest. Like Thomas in our gospel reading, we can easily be pulled away from the hearth. We humans have a tendency to subconsciously place hoops, requirements, and value based on a personal benefit or preference. It seems we can become less grace-filled and more distaste-filled. The result often is a growing list of excuses for not doing, not participating, and sadly not believing in the value and eventually the source of the flame. The ember, as in the story, removes itself, and well, you heard how it went. But if we remain connected to the hearth and home, our faith within faith family glows. Carrie and Daniel, I'd love to borrow that little baby there for a minute. This, friends, is Gabriel Stowe, an ember to join the hearth of hope and love and warmth and faith. Daniel and Carrie, you have come to dedicate Gabriel in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit into the faith family of not only Park Street, but into the world of followers of Jesus, the victor over the grave, the ultimate example of how to love and live within and for community. I cannot express enough to you, not just as a pastor, but as a parent, that your example, what you prioritize in your lives, will directly impact and teach your son how to live. When you say that treating others kindly is important and you don't do the same, especially to one another, the lesson taught is others do not deserve kindness. When you say to your son that the God of love is to be honored and celebrated, and do not live as one who believes in this, the lesson taught is that God of love is not worth honoring or celebrating. When you say that family and faith family, hearth, is where heart, hope, and home is found, but don't dwell in it, the lesson you have taught your son is that there is no value in gathering. Your child is listening. Your child is watching you, learning how to live, how to faith and live in faith, by how you faith and live in faith. While he is in your care, it is up to you to keep the ember in the hearth. If this is not your understanding, then this act today is empty, and the ember will grow cold. Park Street, we are the hearth home for this family. If our hearth grows cold and unwelcoming, if we do not put our words of love into action, if we do not lovingly support those who join us, the lesson we are teaching embers seeking hearth homes is that though we speak words of support and welcome, we have none to give. These lessons are not just for us to remember on glorious days of Easter or on a day of dedication. They are to be owned and lived out always.